Welcome to the Porch here on Firefall Talk Radio. I'm Richard Grund. It's Wednesday, February 27th, 2017. Broadcasting live from Firefall Studio, Firefall Talk Radio, on Spreaker.com. That's where we broadcast live from. You can find it archived here for download and listen. Also, the old Blog Talk Radio site is still up and running, as well as iTunes, and you can also find the Porch on iHeartRadio. Getting back to basics, taking a look at the Word of God, especially the Book of Acts, Church. We want to serve the Lord the way they did too, in the fullness and the power and the love and the community and everything that went with it, because the church age is still in effect. It's not over. The fire still falls as it did on the day of Pentecost. The Porch is an outreach, Solomon's Porch, Inc. on solomonsporch.org. If you want to contact us or find out how to support us, you can also do that at firefalltalkradio.com. Bookmark your Spreaker site. Give little stars to the shows that you like the most. Also, Sunday night, 7 p.m., Reflections in the Darks, covering the paranormal, the supernatural, end times, prophecies, Jell-O recipes. No Jell-O recipes. We don't do that anymore. If you want to support us, that would be great. Definitely keep us in your prayers. Praise reports and prayer requests. If you send them to me on time, I'll include them. Email them. Pigeons, smoke signals. But the best way is either emailing me directly, go to the contact buttons, or find me on social media. Facebook page for Firefall Talk Radio is, you can find the link on solomonsporch.org, and as well as firefalltalkradio.com. I think that's it. I think I covered it. Did that without any notes, as you can tell. Praise reports and prayer requests. First thing I want to talk about is something that really bothers me. Anti-Semitism is on the rise. Jewish community centers across the United States, but especially in Alabama, have been threatened with hoax bomb threats. They've been targeted, disrupted. Cemeteries are being defiled and destroyed. We know the UN's Israel bias. And so I posted a Facebook rant. I want to share it here because not everyone follows me on Facebook. After seeing the attacks on Jewish community centers around the U.S., I am appalled but not surprised that anti-Semitic spirit has risen its scaly head again. In the days ahead, both Jews and Christians will be targeted by the demonic hatred out there for those who hold Judeo-Christian beliefs. I hope no one on my Facebook friends list or anybody on social media or anybody who listens to this broadcast is anti-Semitic, anti-Israel, or believes that they have been diminished or replaced in God's eyes. If you do, please move on. Anyone who hates Jews or Israel is not someone I want to be associated with. And just like my Facebook page is a personal one and a personal choice, my show, my station, my choice. So the same goes here. I praise the Lord for my home, for my wife, whose birthday it is tomorrow. So anybody who wants to reach out to her and wish her a happy birthday, either on social media, if you're connected, or through me, I will pass it along. Family, pets, possessions, everything that I have. Having come from where I've come from, broken family, to have the things that the Lord has blessed me with, both spiritually, emotionally, and physically, is beyond anything I could have imagined. So I'm thankful for that. I praise Him for His ministry. Praise Him for you. His favor and provisions for the dreams and the visions. I praise Him for the fact that He shares them with me, that He even considers me. I praise Him for healing and renewed vigor and everything that goes with it. Like I said, I have felt the best I've felt in months. I'm back in the gym. I'm just moving forward by faith on a lot of things. My prayer is that all of that continue, that the enemy is bound, all curses, hexes, incantations are broken. Everything the enemy would try to do to me is stopped, declared null and void. I just thank you for that. I thank the Lord for that. I praise Him for that, and I pray for it, and I pray that you'll join me in that prayer. My prayer is for healing in my wife and my family and for those of you that need it. My prayer is for divine protection and the inspiration and the remnant to wake up, to rise up, and answer the call to action, even if it's just on your knees. You don't have to go out there. You don't have to do what I do. I'm not telling you, but get on your knees. Make it a regular thing, not just every now and then. First thing in the morning, last thing in the night, during the day as the Lord leads you. My prayer is for the provision and the equipment for everything that Firefall and SRT needs to do the job, to fulfill the calling, and to help people expose the enemy, whether in the documentary or the other things that we want to do here online, through social media, the help and the infrastructure to do that. I ask you to pray for that, to join with me in prayer, and to be able to handle it when it comes. Sarah in upstate, she posted on Facebook the other day. I'm going to share it as a praise report, upstate New York. I just said upstate, could have been anywhere. Sarah in upstate New York, I've been talking to you about the third-degree burns and all the medical needs. Well, surgery is not needed. So now we need to continue to pray for quickening and healing and restoration in her body. She still needs our help. Her medical insurance is not going to cover all her meds. So her GoFundMe page link is still on the main page for OnSolomonsPorch.org. Kim and Fort Mitchell, the support for her dog Bruno, who still needs surgery, folks, $600. This should have been gone already. And forgive me, I'm not badgering anybody. I'm not forcing anybody. I don't ever ask you for money or even when my needs are dire. If the Lord wants to inspire you to do it, He'll do it. But her dog needs help. He's got a tumor. He's uncomfortable. $600, this should have been gone already. So please consider to help. She sent her in her praise and her prayer. She's getting over a sinus infection like so many of us. She went back to work today to learn that one of their maintenance guys passed away from a heart attack. A lot of grief and pain going on around her with friends and family. She says, I praise my Father in heaven for the little things in my life. And I guess while she was typing and she said the butterfly that was just flying around me telling me the seasons are changing. She says, I praise him for my sobriety, my children, my family, my husband, my mother, and the rest of my family. Praise him for my job and that I'm able to still work at 30 weeks pregnant. I praise him for the cross and his love. I praise him for this ministry and everyone who has helped raise money so far for my dog Bruno's surgery, for the people who shared the link and prayed for him. I praise him for AA, for my pastor Richard, and for my sponsor. I praise him for the air in my lungs and the roof over my head, the food he provides, and the lessons he is teaching me. I'm asking for prayers for my sponsor and everyone involved in this grieving process. Prayers for my co-workers' families. May his unconditional love give them comfort. I said, Father, you've been pointing out so much abuse in animals and children to me. I don't know why, but I'm asking for prayers for innocent children and animals all over the world. You know, if you've read my book, you know that that's my prayer every day. I pray for the fatherless and the widows, the persecuted and the martyred, the innocents and those that cannot defend and protect themselves, especially those in the womb. If we would all do that, I believe we would see a change in these things. Father, protect your children and your creation from the enemy. I'm asking for protection over our families, our children, because they are our future. If we don't teach them how to pray, then we're not doing our jobs as parents. I'm asking for prayers for my friend Stacy, heal and protect her and her family and all the families from the porch. Praying for Sarah and her burns, healing in her body and spirit, and for him to make a way for her to pay her medical bills in Jesus' name. Said, Father, help me raise the money for Bruno's surgery in Jesus' name. Father, make a way for SRT to do what you've created them to do. Father, I am in the process of completely and utterly letting go of my past. Please help me find the right words and take it away from me in Jesus' name. You know what? I could end it all right there. That right there is a sermon. That is a teaching. That is that is the porch, that is what we're supposed to live, but we'll keep going. Nick in Dallas having some issues with his throat. I think he's got this in my non-medical doctor's degree, thinks he probably has the same sinus throat thing that's going around. But anyway, he asked for prayer. Somebody muted him on Saturday morning, and he lost his voice, but it's been painful to talk and swallow. Today's the first day he's been able to speak without much pain, so he's asking for prayers for healing and patience as the healing takes place, and for continued prayers for his mom's healing. Father, for everyone that's asked for prayer, and for everyone out there that's listening that is now offering it up to you, we come into agreement with them. We believe and receive for divine health and healing, for signs and wonders and answered prayers and bills to be paid and bones to be strengthened and everything that would glorify you to take place in Yeshua's name. We are a family of prayer. We are a family of praise, and we boldly approach the throne of grace and mercy, saying, Abba, Father, Papa, God, Daddy, we love you, we praise you, and we worship you. For those that are broken in heart and spirit over relationships, whether it's family, sons or daughters, or husbands or wives, or whatever's going on that the enemy has its hand in, Father, I ask right now, that you would speak the word, that you would send your angels, and that you would deal with this in a way that only you can. Lord, we long for you to return. We long to see you again, but until that time, we will press on. We will tarry. We will do what you've called us to do. So we thank you for the cross. We thank you for the empty tomb. We thank you for the upper room. We thank you for the love of the Father, which you've restored to us through your sacrifice. We thank you for the provision of the Holy Spirit, the gifts and the signs and the teachings and everything that he does for us, walking with us and encouraging us and Urak HaKadosh, I just come to you now as a servant of the living God. And for everyone that knows you, I ask that you impart upon them the measure of faith, the word that they need, everything that is needed for them to do what you've called them to do, and to live the life that is his best for them. And to those that don't know him but seek him, I pray that you'd walk up alongside of them and nudge them, and open their hearts and soften them. We just thank you right now. We praise you, and we love you, and we believe, and we receive. In Yeshua's name, amen. These lessons are proprietary information except where noted that the information comes from outside sources. The combination of that information and the manner presented is exclusive and cannot be repeated or reused without permission. The date of this broadcast serves as the registered date of the following information. So the teaching tonight is called Flash Floods. So let's go to the Word. Open your Bibles, open your apps, follow along, take notes. Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27. Therefore, this is the red letters of the Lord speak. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. I've been paying attention to the news, seeing the rain in California and other parts of the country. You know that sometimes the worst damage comes from the floods. The loss of life, the destroyed homes, and it's caused by the sheer force of flowing water. In a flood, 2 feet of water can move with enough force to wash a car away. And 6 inches of water can knock you off your feet. And it may seem surprising that water, even a lot of it, can pack such a wallop. You know, you can peacefully swim in an ocean without being knocked down, and that's a massive amount of moving water. And sometimes a flowing river isn't even strong enough to knock you over. But flash floods are completely different. Flash floods are more dangerous because the floodwaters flow with more pressure than an ordinary river or a calm sea. And it's due to the massive difference in water volumes that a flood creates. See, in a flood, a lot of water will collect in an area very quickly in a short period of time and be compressed, and that's where the danger comes. And the other thing about water, and I found this very striking, especially as I began to see it from this message, is that it moves quickly to find its own level. Meaning, if the water flowing is coming out of a dam and it was 30 feet deep, it looks to find its own level. So the bigger the difference between the water volumes in an area, the greater the force of the movement. And you can see that when the dam goes in California, which will probably happen. And, you know, if you've ever seen people driving these things, it may not look deep. It may not seem particularly dangerous until it's too late. And all of a sudden you see the cars get wiped away or get flipped over and people are in a life and death situation. Nearly half of all flood deaths come from people attempting to drive their car through rushing water. And the sudden, intense accumulation of water in an area is what creates this force. And as I looked at all that, and even as I'm reading it now, I see in my mind, as the Lord mentioned in Matthew, that sin and demonic behavior can be represented by this flood. And it's very much like that flood. It could be small in one moment and big in the next. Be seemingly calm and suddenly raging, finding its own level to overwhelm you. It can suddenly become very big, very focused, and very dangerous. And these flash floods come into our life very simply through a trickle. And then before you know it, it's a raging rush that we can't control, and it takes us off our feet. It may destroy our homes and our lives. And this is a spiritual principle that goes even back to Genesis. When we read Genesis to Revelation, and we follow the examples in the Word, we see it. If we go to Isaiah 59:18-19, we see examples of floods being mentioned. Isaiah 59, starting verse 18, according to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, the coastlands he will fully repay. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. The New Living Translation is, for he will come like a raging flood tide, driven by the breath of the Lord. The enemy is a raging flood tide, and the Spirit of the Lord drives him back. And I know, Christians will quote this, you know, referring to the struggling with satanic powers. And it applies. But literally, this is the fulfillment in the day the Messiah shows up to stop the Antichrist and the nations that have risen up against Israel, and he sweeps them away in their effort to destroy the Jews and to stop the Messiah from setting up his kingdom in Jerusalem. And we know this to be the Battle of Armageddon. Half of Jerusalem will be taken by this flood of nations before Messiah suddenly makes his appearance from heaven to defeat the armies of the fallen and those that serve them. And he will be the standard that is raised up against them. And he will preserve Israel and the world. Even if you look at Revelation 12, 13 through 17, when the dragon saw that he had been cast to earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child, and we know that woman is Israel. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time and a times and a half time from the presence of the serpent. And we know that's when they flee into Petra, into the wilderness for the second half of the tribulation. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened up its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who kept the commandments of God and have the testimony of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. And as I read that and I thought about this teaching, I realized before that final battle, which, by the way, you don't want to be here for, before that final battle, there will be smaller skirmishes and flash floods of deception, sin, and rebellion, and demonic attack that will set things up for the bigger battle. And that's why I'm doing this. That's why I'm doing this teaching. That's why I've been doing this series. Each one ties together. Is because I want you to be prepared. I want you to be able to stand when that flood comes and when having done all to stand. The shield of faith, the armor in place, the sword, the word in your hand, full of faith, full of confidence, knowing that you will not fall, knowing that your brothers and sisters and your family, especially your porch family, are standing with you. Because it's coming. Let me say that again. It's coming. Isaiah 11, starting verse 10, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people. For the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people who are left from Assyria and Egypt, from Pathros and Cush, from Elam and Shinar, from Hamath and the islands of the sea. And he will set up a banner for the nations and will assemble the outcast of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Oh, I say, let it be so, Lord. And that's what happened on Calvary. That's what happened when Messiah came. That's what happened when he defeated the powers of darkness spiritually on the cross, and he took captivity captive, and he delegated that spiritual authority to us. And before he comes back and takes everything back naturally, there's a war going on. There's a preparation. There are smaller skirmishes and battles that will take us to that final moment. And in the process, we have got to recognize what's going on. First thing we must understand is the kingdom of darkness has a numbers problem. The angels of heaven outnumber the fallen 2-1. The demonic offspring that were created by the fallen watchers in Genesis 6 who died in the flood of Genesis 8 should be outnumbered by the amount of so-called proclaimed believers in the world. But the warfare does not indicate that to me. And here's why I think that is. We have succumbed to the smaller floods. We have succumbed to the trickle that we've allowed to take out our feet, to take away our authority, to ruin the foundation of what was supposed to be this glorious thing called the church. And the rank and file of the soldiers of God in this conflict, in my opinion, is in disarray. And they are wandering about the battlefield. They're not in unison. They're not in unity. Too many people who think they know what they're doing don't. Too many people who talk when they should listen. And too many people leading when they should follow. And they are wandering a very wide path instead of pulling it together, side by side, two by two, however it is the Lord calls for the movement of that moment. And as that word rank and file came to me today, I looked it up. The rank and file of the enlisted troops, the non-commissioned officers in an army. They're also the people who form a major portion of a group, an organization, or a society, excluding the leaders and officers. The deception of the gospel, the deception about his word that we've talked about for the last couple of weeks, will hit you like a flash flood when you begin to foolishly wade in its waters or to think that you can calmly drive through it or ignore it. The children of Israel, and now I say the church, has been called to turn from transgression. And we see that appeal over and over, to turn from sin in the prophecies, again, of Isaiah. If you go to chapter 1, starting with verse 17, learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But we know Israel wasn't willing or obedient. See, water symbolizes a lot of things in the Bible. It can symbolize people. It can symbolize sin. It can symbolize trouble. Isaiah 43:2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. And then, interestingly enough, water can also symbolize blessings, symbolize the Word, the Holy Spirit, and even salvation. Zechariah 13:1, in that day a fountain shall be opened up for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Ezekiel 36:25. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Isaiah 12:3. Therefore with joy you shall draw waters from the wells of salvation. John 4:14. Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water, a fountain of water springing up into eternal life. John 7:38, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Well, the wells of salvation, the living waters, what we're supposed to have inside of us, the enemy should be afraid of our flood. Should be afraid of our flood of words and prayers. Should be afraid of our ability to speak scripture and to set the captives free. The enemy should be afraid of us, not us of him. We should respond to the enemy with the flood of our own, but therein lies the problem. The majority of this rank and file are compromised. Matthew 37, very powerful chapter, verse 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. The New Living Translation calls it the highway to hell is broad. See, the road we're on is a choice. See, the enemy forces you down his path. The Lord says, choose. And the width of the path you're on is also determined by our choices, by our beliefs, by our sins, and the influence that the size of the flood has on us, that hits us. And many will not resist the rising tide, and they'll seek to run away. They'll see it. They'll say, that's not what I signed on for. I'm out of here. And we see that in Scripture. John chapter 6, starting with verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. And in the prior part of the chapter, he talked about eating his flesh, drinking his blood. And the symbolism of that, they didn't wait for the explanation. They just checked out. And Yeshua said to the 12, do you also want to go away? And Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Yeshua answered them, said, did I not choose you the 12, and one of you is a devil? Of course, he spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, who would betray him, being one of the 12. I found it here really interesting. A little side note here. Verse 666 is about men walking away from the Lord forever. It's about man. It's about the flesh choosing themselves over the Lord. The other thing I found really interesting is he chose Judas, knowing the potential of his choice, but giving him the freedom not to make it. Let me say that again. He knew what Judas was potentially going to do, and he gave him the freedom to choose otherwise. Now, of course, we know Judas did not. Judas was deceived in his heart and his mind and chose to do wrong. And I also believe he didn't think he was doing wrong. You know, they say the road to hell is paved with good intentions. They never make clear what his intentions were. But from the outcome and from him hanging himself, I don't think he meant the Lord harm. But Judas couldn't help himself. He didn't wait. He didn't wait for the cross. He didn't wait for forgiveness. He didn't wait for salvation. Paul explains what was going on in Judas. In Romans 7, starting verse 15, I'll be reading the New Living Translation. I don't really understand myself. For what I want to do, what is right, I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know what I'm doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good, so I'm not the one doing wrong. It's sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing wrong. It's sin living in me that does it. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there's another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God. The answer is in Jesus the Messiah, our Lord. Yeshua HaMashiach, Adonai. So you see how it is? In my mind, I really want to obey God's law. But because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. And as I read that chapter and I read it out loud, I know of many people who claim to be believers that cannot stop sinning, that continue to do what is wrong, that'll say they don't want to do it, but then they'll continue to do it, and that sin has become a demonic bondage, that little's trickle has become a flash flood, and it has destroyed their life, and it has taken their legs out from underneath them, and they don't know what to do. And I will tell you what to do: be washed in the Word, be set free, be willing to admit that you are blind, naked, wretched, and hopeless. Read Romans 7:15-25 and put your name in the eye. Speak it to yourself. Speak it out loud. Pull it out into the light and understand that your sinful nature, our natural sinful nature, will lead you into seeking things that are not good for you. You may even pray to the Lord for those things. You will cry, you will plead, you will beg until he relents. Ah, he will relent. He offers you Isaac, you want Ishmael. You'll get it. You go to Psalm 106, starting with verse 1. Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Who can list the glorious miracles of the Lord? Who can ever praise him enough? There is joys for those who deal justly with others and always do what is right. Remember me, Lord, when you show favor to your people. Come near and rescue me. Let me share in the prosperity of your chosen ones. Let me rejoice in the joy of your people. Let me praise you with those who are your heritage. Like our ancestors who have sinned, who have done wrong, who have acted wickedly, our ancestors in Egypt were not impressed by the Lord's miraculous deeds. They soon forgot his many acts of kindness to them. Instead, they rebelled against him at the Red Sea. Even so, he saved them to defend the honor of his name, to demonstrate his mighty power. He commanded the Red Sea to dry up. He led Israel across the sea as if it was a desert. He rescued them from their enemies and redeemed them from their foes. And then the water returned and covered their enemies, and not one of them survived. And then his people believed his promises. Then they sang his praise. Yet how quickly they forgot what he had done. They wouldn't wait for his counsel. In the wilderness, their desires ran wild, testing God's patience in that dry wasteland. So he gave them what they asked for, and he sent a plague along with it. They forgot what he had done for them, and they didn't want his path for them. Their desires ran wild like a flash flood, and he gave them what they asked for. We should want what he wants to give us. We should want what he wants to send. We should want what his best for us is. So we know what that was. We know what it is. Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Yeshua, for he will save his people from their sins. And Yeshua means salvation. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Messiah, for it is the power of God to what? To salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek, for the Gentile. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Forgiveness comes after confession. We must admit we need to be forgiven. We must admit we need to be healed. We must admit that our choices are wrong, that we have allowed our old nature to come back into play and to take control of our lives. Let me just say that this is my personal opinion. You may like it, you may not. There's too much deception and too much denial in the body. Pulpits and pews are full of it. Literally. The mirrors of the spirit are broken and been replaced by carnival mirrors of the enemy, which changes what we see. We think we're clean, we're not. Which is why he said to the Pharisees and the scribes, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear to be beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Too many people want to be in a pulpit. They want to be on a stage. They want to hold a microphone. They want to stand in front of a camera. They want to dress nice, look nice, smell nice, have their hair done. But inwardly, they're rotten. Inwardly, they're unclean. Inwardly, they're compromised. The hypocrisy of saying one thing and doing another. Lawlessness is breaking God's law. It's called sin. But there is hope. I'm not passing judgment on anyone because there's hope. The hope is we can be cleansed by the water and by the blood. We know from Ephesians 5, starting with verse 25, Messiah loves the church and he gave his life up for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. And he did this to present her to himself as a glorious church, without spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she'll be holy and without fault. 1 Corinthians 6:11, Paul says, and there were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Yeshua, name of Yeshua, by the Spirit of our God. You see, you can't wash yourself. You can't scrub enough. He washes you. He cleans you. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, and the veil is taken away. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And that veil over their eyes, the veil of sin. But we all, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror of the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Spirit, as by the Spirit of the Lord. A mirror of glory, to see Him and to reflect Him. But you know what? To do that, we have to walk in the light, exposed, transparent, be willing to be called out in love as He is in the light. And we will have fellowship with one another in the blood of Jesus, the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So here's what I say to all my brothers and sisters out there that might fit what I'm talking about tonight. Stop hiding in the shadows and come out into the light. But I will tell you this right now. What is whispered in the dark will be shouted from the rooftops. Judgment has begun at the house of the Lord. And your window of grace may be closing. I do not know. Only the Spirit can tell you that. If He is prodding you and convicting you to repent and to change, do so. Revelation 1, starting verse 5, John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from Him who is, who was, and who is to come. And from the seven spirits who are before His throne. And from Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. To Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. The floods have come, in case you haven't noticed. The floods have come. But I will not fear, because I am rooted and grounded in the time of a flood. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. Just as you accepted Messiah Yeshua as your Lord, continue to follow Him. Let your roots grow down into Him, and let your lives be built upon Him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. And how do you do this? You do it through the Word. You do it through by what you hear. If you want your ears tickled, you'll have no roots. The roots have got to run deep. got to run from deep water. And it's got to be the word, the uncompromised, unvarnished word of God. I think it's great. Some of you read a devotional to start the day, and you read a scripture, and you spend about 15 minutes doing it. And there's another side of me that says, big freaking deal. Because when the enemy comes, you won't be strong enough, your faith won't be full enough, and you won't be ready. Start eating full meals. Open your Bible. Follow it along. Read the chapters. Get into the Word. Spend some time with the Lord beyond the shotgun prayers and the drive-by visits. The floods are here, folks. May seem like a trickle now, but it's going to take your legs out. It's going to destroy things. If you go with me to Luke chapter 8, the parable of the seed, and this is what the Lord says, starting verse 11, the meaning of this parable, the seed is God's word, and the seeds that fell on the footpath represent those who hear the message, only to have the devil come and take it away from their hearts and prevent them from believing and being saved. And the seeds on the rocky soil represent those who hear the message and receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they believe for a while, and then they fall away when they face temptation. The seeds that fell amongst the thorn represents those who hear the message, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, so they never grow into maturity. And the seeds that fell on the good soil represent honest, good-hearted people who hear God's word, cling to it, and patiently produce a huge harvest. The world, the flesh, and the enemy will steal the word from our heart. But see, I know something. I do. I actually do know something. That his glorious, unlimited resources will empower you with inner strength through his spirit. And then Messiah will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Messiah that is too great to understand fully. And then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. It was Ephesians 3, 16 through 19. When it says you are grounded, that word means a foundation. It means the flesh is gone and we are changed. It means we're new. It means we have been crucified with Messiah. And it's no longer we who live, but Messiah who lives in us and through us. And the life which we now live in the flesh in this fallen world, amongst the fallen world system and everything around us, we live by faith in the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself to us. That's the power of salvation. That's the power of the cross. And that's why the enemy doesn't want you to hear it, and the world doesn't want you to hear it, and the false religious systems don't want you to hear it. They want you to follow denominations. They want you to follow plans. They want you to follow schemes, but they don't want you to follow the basics of the word. Are you born again? Are you saved? Are you different? Because if you're not, let me say this again, and I know that this is a message I've been pounding now for years. Are you different? No, we have our idiosyncrasies. We have our things that our flesh goes back to, and we have to repent, and we're constantly struggling with these little errors. But if you're struggling with big errors, if the sins that are taking you down and knocking you off your feet are the same ones that took you down and knocked you off your feet before you had your supposed salvation experience, we need to talk. because the world, the enemy, the flesh, the devil is going to try to steal from you the foundation I'm talking about and put another false foundation under you of fleshly indulgence, of sin, of compromise. And the one thing I realized in talking the last couple of weeks and doing this today is that the world system, the false religious systems, these false teachings that we have touched on, they appeal to you to look outward. Look at what God can do for you. Pray for the homes and the cars and the bank accounts and, oh, the gold and the jewels and all these things that people supposedly get you to focus on. But the Spirit says, look inward. Is the inside of the cup clean? Because when you only focus on the outside, you're no better than a scribe or a Pharisee. Is the inside clean? Oh, there may be cracks and there may be smudges and we may have to clean it off. But is it clean? Can he pour himself inside of you? Can you pour out what he pours into somebody and not do them harm? I mean, let's get real here. I know of people who claim to be born again, who want to preach, who want to teach, who want to do all those things, and they sleep with people that they're not married to. They do things that they're not supposed to do under the guise, well, I'm witnessing to them. Really? Really? No, you're not witnessing to them. You're dragging them down into the lake of fire with you. That's what you're doing. See, we need to understand the exceeding greatness of his power toward us, to those of us who believe, that according to the working of his dunamis power, his explosive mighty power, which was worked in Messiah when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, which we know is what the Lord told us would happen in John 14. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and in you. The enemy doesn't want that for you. But he does. The Father does. The Lord does. The Spirit does. He yearns to walk with you. He yearns to guide you. See, the enemy will show you a wide gate of worldly blessings and a me, me, me gospel. But the Holy Spirit, he'll show you a narrow path of a him, him, him gospel. Which gets us to circle back where we started. Matthew 7. Except we started with 24, but whenever something says therefore, that means something came before it. So if we go to Matthew 7, 21 to get to Matthew 7, 24, it takes on a whole different texture. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Stand in the narrow way. Stand on the path that the Spirit calls you to stand on. And keep going. I truly believe that when you're on that path, the flash floods of the enemy, it won't find you there. Father, I come to you now in the name of Yeshua, your Son. I pray for myself. I pray for everyone's listening. I pray for our loved ones and all your believers that are struggling in this world right now, struggling emotionally, physically, financially, spiritually. I pray for the measure of faith to endure and to press on. I pray for us to be able to hear the encouraging words of the Holy Spirit and to feel His presence and His love that He shows us from You to inspire us to keep running, to keep going, to keep praying. Father, I pray that we can see the standard and that we could come into formation. And we can do what You've called us to do in these final days as the clock ticks down and the darkness grows darker. I pray for the provisions to do that. I pray for the aerial support of the prayers of the saints. I pray for the remnant to rise up. Receive Your calling. Receive Your orders. Some of you will receive a promotion, which means greater calling. Greater orders. Cleanse us from all the things that hinder us, Father. Shut down all the areas of our flesh. Keep the enemy from us. Drive him away, Lord. Ancestral spirits, things in our blood lineage, bondages that have been passed down to us, things that will not set us free. I call for You to repent and to let go of those things. Let the markings of the enemy be gone. Let the hooks be melted. Let the locks be broken. Let the prison doors be opened. I even call for the jails to fall. And Father, I'm also praying for a spirit of praise, for those who have a voice to praise, for those who are called to be spiritual Levites. I'm calling, Lord, for You. I'm requesting You to reveal to each and every one of us where we're lacking, where we please You, and where we need to be in the days ahead. And I thank You, Father. I thank You with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my spirit, with all the strength and everything that is within me. And lastly, I want to pray for anyone out there that does not know You in this way. I pray that they would cry out to You to be Lord and Savior of their life. They would turn over their lives to You. They would be set free. They'd be filled with Your Holy Spirit, with the manifestation of the fruit and the gifts. And I pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen. If you have any questions, you have any needs, go to OnSolomonsPorch.org, FirefallTalkRadio.com, and you reach out. You're not in this alone. If I can't handle it, I'll find someone who can. If it needs to be face-to-face and Skype or FaceTime won't work, then we'll see what we can do. I do get a lot of emails, and I'm being honest. Sometimes I miss a few, but eventually I find them. But if it's that important, the Spirit will point it out to me. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord bless you and keep you and cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. The eyes of the Lord are on you and He gives you His shalom. In Yeshua's name, amen.